Growing in Christ, the chief aim here at Abounding Grace. Join us. Welcome to the broadcast. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in London. Our time together today will return us to God's Word and some casual conversations with our teacher and Pastor Chris Gordon, that we might be encouraged in Christ, that we might grow in His grace. Won't you join us? Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, our teacher and Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for being with us on this Tuesday session of Abounding Grace as we're going back to the Word of the book of Romans chapter 3, and we're picking up where we left off yesterday in considering these two ways of righteousness that the Apostle Paul presents to us. And at this point he has said, look, why is boasting excluded? He has posed this question, where is boasting? It is excluded. And he asked the question, why is it excluded? He asked, or better, on what law is it excluded, works or faith? And so he presents, is salvation basically by works or by faith? And how then would boasting fit into that whole scheme if boasting is excluded? So Paul says there really are, in the whole scheme of things, only two possible ways that someone could be saved. Either salvation is by works or it is by faith. It can't be both. And Paul is saying that here. Either it's one or the other. If all boasting is excluded, on what law would that be, works or faith? It can't be both. In fact, later he'll say, if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace, but it is of works. It is no longer grace. Otherwise, grace is no longer, otherwise work is no longer work. So if your salvation were by any works, even just one, well, then you would have some reason to boast, says Paul. And so he condemns very sharply any notion that we are saved by our goodness or anything that we do. And so we immediately, as Protestants, have a major problem with the Roman Catholic teaching that we are saved by faith plus works. It's one or the other, says Paul. It's either faith or works. What is it? And so he's making the case here, it is by faith alone. Now, the Christian, the Protestant, believes this. We agree to this. No real problem. But I've come to the conclusion, at least looking at my own heart, there is a real problem. We've become so accustomed to terms like faith alone and grace alone and forgiveness of sins and justification and so on, I often wonder if we've built up a defense system itself in the familiarity of the terms to barricade us from looking at what they really and understanding what they really mean and what the implications are, their implications of understanding these things in our lives. In order to prevent pride, the Lord has gone to great extents to give us His Word to tell us what? How bad our hearts are. And then on top of that, He gives us His law. Paul wrote in Romans 3, verse 20, no one is justified in his sight by the law, for by the law comes the knowledge of what? Sin. So law exposes the darkness in our lives and in our hearts. So he describes our natures throughout Romans chapter 3 as what? Filthy rags. And then he gives his law to expose it. The law shows us that our natures are filthy rags. But here's where the real rub is. Our pride is so bad that, number one, we don't want to listen to God's description of our natures. That's why so many preachers in our day do not talk about sin. They don't want to, they think that's down, that's negative, it doesn't have any benefit, and so they've just thrown out any discussion, any exposing of the darkness of our hearts. Number two, we turn the law into something other than its original design and purpose. These, we considered a few weeks ago, are theologians of glory. And I gave the analogy a few weeks back, the analogy of the addict. His law is, thou shall quit. In his nature, there is a fight. He doesn't want to let the law do what it should, make matters worse. And so instead of breaking him, he uses the law as a defense mechanism to stir up a sense that he can beat it himself. Beat it all himself. And in this scenario, any sort of progress becomes a form of pride. The law has been used as a defense mechanism against the free gift. If the law says it, then I'm going to set myself to do it, thinks the sinner. I'm going to get my life together. And the law then becomes a ladder for me myself to climb up to God. And so we're left to think that Christianity is just about getting off, let's say, addictions. And so often we will put people on stages and in chapels, and they had some great dramatic conversion experience. And what's the focus? How at one time they were sex and drug addicts or whatever, and they did all these terrible things, and these things are held up and almost to be glorified. And then the greatness of the story is that Christianity sort of worked for them. They got themselves together and broke free of the drugs, they broke free of the alcohol, and whatever form of perversity it was. The question, my friends, is this. Is that the goal of Christianity? Is the goal, the ultimate goal of Christianity, to free the addict, to get somebody off drugs? Often we're left to think that Christianity is only about a mode of behavior. This is my point, cleaning up my life. And that is an implication of Christianity. That is the result, though, of becoming a Christian. Cleaning up my life, getting off the drugs, stopping all these things will happen if I'm a Christian. But when Christianity, you see, is only presented as getting off the drugs or the alcohol, the fact is that people can find a lot of ways to kick the drugs and the alcohol and whatever apart from Christianity. I mean, Dr. Phil has a lot of good methods for that. Oprah has a lot of good methods for that. Here's my point. In all of this today, in the Christianity that I at least see, something is vitally missing. And we can't always put our hands on it as we sit in the pews and as those who haven't had these sort of radical experiences. We can't always put our hands on just what is happening. Here's what's missing. Any sense that what has the power to produce the change in our lives has nothing whatsoever to do with them. And that is pride, you see. It's totally left out of the equation. We're left with the feeling that these people just got their lives together. Christianity has just become the thing that works for me, the best bang for the buck. And so we're often left with the impression that my act of coming to Christ is what changed my life and got me right with God. In other words, who's missing from the whole scenario? Jesus. Jesus Christ is missing from the scenario, and any sort of deep sense of the fact that they could have never broken away from it in their own power. That's what's missing. A sense that they could have never done it and broke away from it in their own power. Let me put it this way. Christianity becomes for many a fix to help them do it themselves. That is a wrong view. That is pride. That is boasting. Christianity, my friends, and if you're listening today, Christianity is about a message. A message of Christ and Him crucified, and in the power of His resurrection, I'm able to spring to a new life. But it's totally outside of me. It's in Him. The power lies in Him. And the basis for my right standing before Him is Christ alone. The focus from beginning to end today is on what I used to be and now what I'm doing, and never on the fact of what I used to be and now what Christ has done for me. Do you see the twist? Do you see what's missing today? I can't help but going back to the healing of the 10 lepers. Jesus gave that, of course. That account is found in the Gospel of Luke. And the 9 that didn't return are like so many in the Christian world. If you were to walk up to one of those 9, you said, "What happened to you? Tell me your story." They would walk and talk about how at one time they were gross and they were smelly and their limbs were falling off and who they were outside of the gate of the city. And then they bumped into Jesus, who sent them on their way. And as they went along the path, they were healed. And we're left with the impression that Jesus was just sort of the conduit to help them straighten things out in their lives. As if it was their act of going along the path. Remember, Jesus said that. Go along the way. And then they were healed along the way. As if it was their act of going along the path that produced their healing. Now look at how strong they are. Look at our limbs, they would say. Look at our bodies. They would become the power team. They would tear up phone books for Jesus. They would become the poster boys for Christianity. Theologians of glory. Let me say, as you come into contact with that one who... Let's say you came into contact with that one who returned to Jesus. What happened to you, you ask? Well, his story is a little bit different, isn't it? The truth of his condition before meeting Jesus was the same. I was gross and I was smelly and my limbs were falling off. And then I came into contact with this Jesus. And after I saw that he had healed me physically, I saw that this outer healing pointed to the healing that I needed inwardly. I returned to Jesus because I realized that he is the only source of my life, that I have nothing in myself that could have produced this healing. He is the only way. He did not just help me to help myself. Notice that. That is just so important to understand. Jesus did not just help me to help myself. That's how Christianity appears to us today. Jesus rescued me from myself would have been his cry. And he could do nothing but return to Jesus. He's the only basis upon which I can be right with God. Jesus is the only basis upon which any sinner can be right with God. And a sinner must realize that he has no power in and of himself to go on his way without Jesus. There is the crucial difference. Therein lies the fundamental difference between often what we see in Christianity and what true Christianity is that leans and rests in Christ. And it amounts to trying to find our righteousness in the law itself. As people say, look, the law says, thou shalt not, therefore I won't do it anymore. But we forget the message of the Bible. The law was a tutor to bring us to Christ. Have you come to Christ? It shows us that we can't do it and that we need him, our perfect law keeper, to have righteousness in life. That's why we herald him, the only way, truth, and life, the only way by which we may come to the Father and receive his righteousness, reckoned to our account as if we had never sinned or been a sinner. Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. We go going through the book of Romans in the evening and Genesis in the morning. We give you a sincere invite to join us. You may access information on our website, lindenurc.com. Thanks for joining us today, and may the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.